Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your grace is enough, Lord. Come on, if you believe it, clap, why don't you? If you believe his grace is enough, why don't you clap your hands, all ye people? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise your name, mighty God. Your grace is enough. Praise the name of Jesus. Why don't you tell someone next to you, his grace is enough. All I need is his grace. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to read one passage of scripture or one verse, and then you will clap and sit down, then you'll clap again, and all throughout you just be clapping. Acts 14 and 22, just one verse. Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles, we'll read the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse. Amen? Let's read 21. They tell me not to start in the middle of a story. So let's just start with 21, and then we'll read 21 and 22. Thank God for our ministry, our wonderful family, all of the ministry, the senior ministry. Thank God for them and my wife and child. Thank God for them. Jesus' name. Confirming, 21. When they had preached the gospel, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium in Antioch. 22 says this, in confirming the souls of the disciples, in exhorting them to continue in the faith, in that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Lord, bless your word, and as we hear it, open our hearts and our ears to understand. Give us revelation, God, in the name of Jesus. Now clap your hands, all ye people, as you've been seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Praise the name of Jesus. This is a passage of scripture that speaks about Paul and his missionary journey. Praise God. Speaking of when they had circled the time, and now they was going through the areas that they had preached that before, and they was kind of just making sure everybody had received the message. There's a song that I will not sing. It was sung by the late Reverend James Cleveland, and it's been redone over and over since then. The song says, I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. I know some of you know it. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, or it would be a walk in the park, or it would be as drinking or eating ice cream. The song says, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. I think James Cleveland had a revelation. He was basically saying that no one told him or no one told us that the road, the Christian life, would be easy. Serving God and trying to live for him and trying to be a husband or a wife or a daughter or a son or a single man or a single brother, whatever your single sister, I should say, whatever your status is, no one said that it would be easy. No one told us that. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure where it began or who started it. But you hear a lot of it now, easy-feasy type gospel, easy-feasy type living for God. And the scripture does not indicate at all, at no point, that serving him would be easy. No one said it. The Bible doesn't teach it. But hopefully we'll find out by the end of this lesson where it come from, this easy-feasy stuff. I tell you where I was reading a couple of days ago in the last few weeks of month, there's a lot of teachings out from these new age thinkers in this new age movement, in this religious community. They're saying, and some of the writers there's a book out by Eckhart Tolle that teaches the new age and miracles and the new earth and so on and so on. And basically, what he is teaching is that you should do whatever works for you or whatever is easy, whatever road that seems easy for you to take, then maybe you should take that road, if it's easy for you to serve him or to serve her or to even serve them, then that is the road that you should take. Why? Because we are seeking, the world is seeking the easiest way to take. But in contrary, I think they're contradicting themselves. Why? Because anything most of the time that come easy, and I can guarantee you it's not right. Anything that a child or a man or a woman can get easily, most of the time, he or she does not appreciate it. It does not have long-lasting value to it. Why? Because anything that comes easy always leaves easy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we have the religious world having a form of godliness, but denying the powers thereof. The Bible says, from such, turn away from such. In other words, the religious community, they are saying that you do not have to do that much. They are saying it does not take all of that. You do not have to give up all of that. You do not have to walk away from all of that. Why? Because they are saying, Brother Jones, that it's supposed to be easy. Someone said easy like Sunday morning. But I beg to differ with you again, not to be too redundant or too repetitive, but any things that come easy always leaves as easily as it came. So let's discuss this thing easy for a few minutes before we get too far. We'll be celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday on tomorrow, and some of the great things that I think God used that young man to do. And I think if he was here today, I don't think that he would stand here with the religious community and the New Age philosophers and the humanistic thinkers. I don't think he would stand here and say what we went through to accomplish the things that we had to accomplish. I don't think he would say it was easy. I don't think that he would say, you know, the things that he caused to happen to annihilate segregation and to annihilate these things that were so oppressed during the early part of our American history. I don't think he would stand here before the great church and say, well, it was a walk in the park. It was no sweat to change the world. You know, I did it with my hands down. You know, I didn't even break a sweat. I did it just marching. You know, I don't think he would say when he marched along Montgomery Road that it was easy. I don't think he would say it was easy when he marched along the Birmingham Bridge. I don't think he would say that it was a walk in the park and I had fun doing it. I don't think he would say it was easy when they saw the dogs and these vicious and ferocious animals upon these people trying to proclaim their rights and liberties that they were sold for, things they deserve as being people. I don't think Martin Luther King would stand here today before this church and preach that it was an easy, feasy thing that I had to do. I don't think Martin Luther King would stand here today and say every time they hose us down with these high-pressure hoses that was meant to contain a violent crowd or that was meant to put out fires. I don't think the Martin Luther King would stand here today and say, well, it was easy going through these things. I don't think he would say it was easy to be in prison falsely, to be put in a jail behind closed doors, because I am simply demanding what's mine by right. I don't think Martin Luther King would stand here before this church and say it was easy feasy. I didn't break a sweat doing it. You know, I just woke up one morning and decided to go and let some dogs attack me. I just woke up one morning, Brother Merritt, and I decided to let somebody hose me down with a high-pressure hose. I woke up one morning and decided to let these men put their hands in their batons best upon me. I don't think he would stand here before you and say it, but I think he would stand here and say it was hard, but it was worth it. Why? Because he had a dream, and sometime my brothers and sisters, in order to accomplish the dream that God has given you, in order to accomplish the vision, it would not be easy, but God did promise us that he would give us his peace. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I would give you peace. Not easy feasy, but he would give us peace. So just trying right along here, we also receive the educational people, those that seek to have their bachelor's and their master's and their doctrinal degrees. I don't think that the doctors will stand here today and say, well, you know, I had to go, how many years to walk out? 18 years of medical school. We have a lot of medical professionals here today. I don't think no one would stand here, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and said, you know what, med school was a piece of cake. I woke up one morning, I just zoomed right through med school. I didn't have to neglect no sleep. I didn't have to neglect no activities. I just woke up and I just zoomed right through med school. There was no pressure. It was no stress. You know, I just woke up one morning, and there you go, right there. My medical degree was sitting on the wall. I don't think no one would say that. Why? Because it requires work. It requires sweat, and it requires effort to have success in these areas of life. So I don't understand why are people teaching? Why are false doctrines going forth to say serving God should be simply easy? Living for God should be a walk in the park. Living for God should be ice cream. We does not look at the educational system. We do not look at the professional world and say it must be easy to be a lawyer. It must be easy to go through law school or to get this degree on my wall to pass the state bar exam. It is no sweat at all. It requires no work at all. Hallelujah. I remember a couple of years ago when my wife was going through school. I think it was, 5, 6 years ago, Keisha, when you was doing that? When she was deciding to go through her school, and man, she was calling me up, and it was, man, let me tell you, it was work. She was calling and said, baby, can you just pray for me? This thing is stressing me out. I can't sleep. I can't focus. I can't function. Why? Because she was seeking to obtain a goal in life. And she understood, like everyone else understand, that if you desire to have these things in life, it's going to require sweat. It's going to require some toil. You're going to have to go through some things to accomplish this. It's going to require you to neglect some things in your life. You're going to have to turn some things down and say, no, I can't go with you to eat tonight because I have to do my studies. And let me tell you, what applies to the natural realm of things, it also applies to the spiritual realm of things. If we are expecting God to do some great things for us, if we are expecting a last day revival church, we are going to have to do more than just come here and leave. It's going to require some sweat. It's going to require some toil. We're going to have to lay aside some things. We're going to have to neglect some things. Why? Because we got somewhere we want to go. Hallelujah. No one said that it would be easy. Where this stuff is coming from? Talking to a young couple, a Christian couple, saying, well, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. Now, I understand it does get easier as you progress, as you get more mature in your Christian walk, as you, you know, grow older in serving Jesus. I understand that you don't wrestle with the same things. But if you think at some point or at some level in your life, the devil going to back off you and say, you know what, you have passed so many tests, I'm not going to bother you no more. You have said no to me so many times, I'm just going to let you go by from now on. If we think that for one second, our Tabernacle of Pentecost, we are being deceived. The Bible says that the devil only left Jesus for a season. You best to believe. I don't care how many times we tell him no. I don't care how many times we resist him. He will still come back. No one said that it would be easy. Thank you, Jesus. So we've discussed Martin Luther King and the things that he had to face and the things that he had to go through, being sought on by dogs, being beat by batons, and he was taking the Gandhi, under the Gandhi concept of being nonviolent. So he had to withstand somebody putting their hand on him and he not hitting them back. I tell you, every time I read this and hear about this, church, you understand this is no easy thing. It's one thing for you to put your hand on somebody and somebody to rightfully defend themselves. But this man led a movement that was nonviolent. You don't understand? They had their rights taken from them. I don't think he would stand here on the eve of his birthday and say it was easy.
like Sunday morning. I wish he can stand on the radio and tell these false teachers and false doctrines that's making the world think that being a Christian is some ice cream walker. Being a Christian is just all your cares are wiped away. You have no more troubles now. Just come over here. I dare you proclaim the word of God that is not true. Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles. He said, but I will give you my peace. Glory to the name of Jesus. Marathon runners. I was talking to Brother Keith Furlough. Is he here, Brother Keith? I talked to him yesterday. Me and Brother Robert was discussing with him what it takes to be a professional athlete. And I know I don't have what it takes, so don't tell me. I already know. He was telling me some of the things they have to go to. Remember, Brother Robert? Some of the things they put themselves through, the diet, and the running, in the early morning. In the early morning, things they have to, participate in, how they neglect their bodies. And they put their bodies through the ringer, man. And a lot of these people that doesn't make the NFL. I'm talking about not the ones that make the NBA. These are just people that just decided to be, in that field of athleticism. In the runners, the thing they decide to put themselves through, and the sweat, and the toil. I used to be a runner years ago. I was following the marathons with the Kenya runners, running, I think, for 5-6 years straight. I can't remember. Don't quote me on it, please. But the Kenya runners, and for years, they could not figure out, Pastor Cummins, why they kept winning like this. And they told their secret one year. I think it was 2000 or 2001, sometime like that. And they said, what are you guys' secret? How do you come here and blow away all the runners? And these guys said they train going up hills. They train in the early morning of the day because Africa gets so hot. They can't run in daytime. So these guys was workers, you understand. They worked all day, and at night almost, they trained all night just to be winners in a marathon. They had to go up these hills, and there was wild animals all around them. And yet the only thing they won was a trophy at the end, at the champion. Now, we cannot sit here or stand here and say, well, they have to endure these things just to get a trophy. And praise God, we're not just running for a trophy. We're not just running, to receive a belt or to receive some award. But our reward is in heaven. But the Bible says that we press toward the mark of Jesus Christ, which is in him alone. I will not be defeated by some marathon runner. I will not be defeated by some athlete. I will set my goals on him. Genesis 6 and 7 talks about when Noah was called. And the whole chapter of 6 and 7 discusses the call. And sometimes I think we have a way of reducing this because we hear so much. Sometimes familiarity can get us so used to something that when we hear it, it becomes just mundane to us. But let me tell you, there was nothing mundane about Noah in the ark. I think that was one of the most significant things that happened in the Bible. Thank you, brother. One of the most significant things that happened is when God commanded this man to build an ark. You have to understand the significance of this. It was almost like saying to Noah, or saying to a man here, in the middle of a hot South Florida summer, somebody come along and tell you, I think it's going to rain. I'm sorry. It's going to snow. 12 inches of snow in the middle of the summer in South Florida when it's about 100 degrees in humidity. You understand the significance of this man. God told Noah that it was something was going to happen that had never taken place before. And you understand, Noah was a regular man. He probably had neighbors that he talked to every morning. He probably had guys at the local, corner store, 7-Eleven. They probably drank some coffee or whatever they drank during them days, some tea or whatever. He had people, I'm sure, that respected him, and they had people that had known him, probably people who had grown up with him. Somebody who just known Noah was a pretty decent guy. And here he is telling these people that some great spirit told him that it was going to rain. I don't think Noah sat down and said, oh Lord, this is no problem. This is going to be very easy for me to do. I'm going to build this ark, Lord, with no sweat at all. I'm going to build this ark and ain't going to think about it. It's just going to be something. Matter of fact, I always dreamed of building an ark. Brother Todd, I don't think Noah said none of these things. I think what Noah said was, man, are you serious? Sometimes when you look at these saints in the Bible, and we suppose them to be super, super spiritual, super saints, you know, like super people. Like they had three arms and like two heads, you know, three legs. No. It was, I promise you, I'm pretty sure. Now, you talk, pull me aside later, but I'm pretty sure they had two legs and two arms and two eyes. These were not no super people. These were regular men and regular women like me and you today. And I think when God told Noah, hey, man, go build a big boat because it's going to rain, Noah probably wrestled all night with that. He probably woke up next morning. He couldn't tell his wife. You know, he, baby, you know what the Lord told me last night? Can I share something with you? Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell other people what God has told you. Hey, man, you know, God just told me to go on a 8-day fast. Can you believe God said something like that? Sometimes sharing what God has told us is not the easiest thing in the world to do. And the Bible says that Noah built an ark. And I don't think Noah would stand here today and say it was easy feasy, easy like Sunday morning, building an ark that he had never seen, for rain that he had never seen, from a God who he had never seen. But yet and still, the Bible says that Noah obeyed God in spite of how hard it might have been, in spite of how things might have looked to him, how things might have seemed to him. The Bible says that he built an ark to the saving of his family. I guarantee you one thing. Obedience always results in somebody being saved besides yourself. I know you're saying, well, it seemed like it's just me obeying God. My dear brother, you keep on obeying God, your children will follow. My sister, you keep on obeying God, and your husband will follow. Young men, you keep on obeying God, and those on your job, those in your school, we'll follow. Why don't you clap your hands if you believe it? Noah built an ark. Not easy, but God gave him peace. The Bible says in Genesis, the 12th chapter, it recalls Abraham being called from his own country, a heathenistical nation of people, had not experienced Jehovah. Yet God chose Abraham. The Bible says that God, in Genesis 12, called Abraham from his own country to an unknown country to by an unknown God to do some unknown things. God did not give Abraham the whole script. You understand? God didn't say, well, you go, and I'm going to tell you exactly where you're going. I'm telling you exactly what you're going to do. Because sometimes God tells us to do something, and we want to know the end of the result. I know I do. God tell me to do something, Lord, how's it going to work out? Tell me, you know. I know you know. Can you reveal it to me? And sometimes God does not give us the end result, but he still requires obedience. And the Bible says that God called Abraham out. And I don't think, and don't you think, my dear brothers, for a minute that Abraham said, oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy walking somewhere where I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea what people I'm going to meet. Matter of fact, I'm not even that familiar with this spirit that keeps speaking to me. I'm used to these little idol things, you know, these little wooden, these little stone things, but I'm not familiar with this great God. Who are you? And what are you asking me to do? But nevertheless, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as what? Righteousness, which is to say, even if we do not understand the plan that God has given us, even if we do not understand where it is leading us, it may cause us to bring something that we love upon an altar and say, Lord, if you tell me, I'll do it. It may cause us to bring some things that we hold dear to our hearts. It may cause us to make some sacrifices. It may cause us to give up some things and go some places that we would not choose to go. But I tell you the truth that if you choose to obey God, it will always, always result in a blessing. Abraham obeyed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He obeyed God, not super Christians, but he obeyed God. Hallelujah. You understand that the things that God requires for us to do would be simply impossible. Wow, look at time. Would be simply impossible to do without God. The things that God requests for, command for us to do, It was never meant to be done outside of his provision, in his leading, in his spirit. God would never ask us to, require us to do something that he has not already made provision for. He would never command us to go to a place that he has not already predestinated. I know we think sometimes, man, these are uncharted grounds. And they may be uncharted grounds for me and you. But God, who knows the beginning from the end, he told Jeremiah, he said, man, I called you while you were still in your mother's womb, and I have predestined you to be a prophet to the nations. Church, I know it seems as if we are walking on places where we have no idea where we are and what we are supposed to be, but I tell you, God said that he will be with us. He said when you go through the fire, you will not be burned and the waters will not overflow you. Behold, I am with you all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 3 records Moses being sent back to Pharaoh after serving him for 40 years and then being away for 40 years. Now he has to go and pronounce judgment on him. The most powerful man on earth. The most powerful man on earth. The Bible says God told Moses, go and tell this man to let my people go. The most powerful man in existence at that time. You're sending me to go speak to him? Now, I understand. I don't want to tread too thin on this, but I know Moses had a speech impediment. I don't think that was the only problem. Pastor Kyle, correct me later if I'm wrong. But I think he felt a little intimidated. You understand? This is Pharaoh. This is not some bum on the street. It's hard for us to see the full vast, Brother Hanson, because we don't have one man over the earth. We have the president of the U.S., then we have other kings and, prime ministers. So it's hard for us to see the whole span of the picture. But you understand, there was no different, the region of the world wasn't really divided per se. Pharaoh was God at that time. In a certain way of speaking. Now, you're sending Moses. Now, you understand, Moses understood who Pharaoh was. Moses had served this man for 40 years. So Moses said, Lord, you know, I know this guy. You know, I seen what he do to his enemies. I seen what he do to people who he don't like. I seen how he treat people who try to, question his authority. You're sending me? Now, I do have a little speech impediment. Man, this man will kill me. This man will take my life. And you're sending me? What about all these other, qualified people you have? You know, God said, man, go over there. And I think that's why God gave him Aaron, gave him the rod. God gave us supernatural things because he know that we need supernatural things to supersede the natural order of things. You understand? We need all the power of the Holy Ghost we can receive. We need all the gifts. We need all the fruits of the Spirit. These are our weapons against this corner world. We will not and cannot defeat the devil in our natural disposition. That's why the scripture says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. God then said, well, I'm going to give you these gifts, if you want them, you can take them. If not, you can leave them. No. It is a must that we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It is a must that we operate in the fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because this is our weapon against a natural and carnal and fleshly world. The most powerful man on earth. Not easy. I don't have time to go through all of them because I have another point I want to make. But you have Esther before the king. She was standing here, not easy. The three Hebrew men standing before the king, not easy being thrown there. Jeremiah in the pit, he wouldn't stand here today and said, I had an easy job. Matter of fact, I think he would get offended if he hear some of the stuff that's going on and being preached now on the radio and different faucets of the world about easy, feasy gospel, just name it and claim it and say it's yours and it's yours. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not instruct us in these ways. The Bible says that the Lord spoke those things as it were. We have faith to believe that God can change things. He can turn our impossibles into possibilities. But without him, we
can do nothing.
Excuse me. Hosea the prophet would not stand here today and say it was easy feasy. You know, it was ice cream going out and marrying a harlot two or three times. He wouldn't stand here today and proclaim he had an easy job. I had an easy gospel to preach. I lived an easy Christian life. It was just a walk in the park. I didn't have to lay nothing aside. I didn't have to give up some things. I didn't have to tell some friends goodbye. Some things that we wrestle with today. Thinking it's so hard. Is it supposed to be this hard? Of course it's supposed to be this hard. Not hard in the fleshly sense, but hard because we are so attached to this world. We are so dear to this world. Things that we are refusing to let go of, that God is trying to rip out of our hands. God is saying, get rid of that junk, and I will bless you. He told them in Corinthians, he said, come away from amongst them, and I will bless you, said the Lord.
Oh, Pastor Kyle, I hope you got a good one, man. Praise the name of Jesus. David against the giant. I know we read the story that David, you know, had his stones and he went skipping and whistling and dixling. Said, come on, giant, I'm ready for you, smiling like a girl. No. I don't think that was the case. Now, indulge me for a few seconds. My imagination get me in trouble sometimes. But I think that night before, he said, what in the world did I get myself into? What was I thinking when I said I'll fight that big old juggler? What was on my mind? Okay, maybe y'all never did it before. I have. Spoke real fast. Lord, I do it. I go. I give my whole house to missions. And they say it's time to give. I said, what? What did I say? My wife is my reminder. She said, yeah, you said it, baby. You said it. I think that's how David felt. Brother Kwashi, I think after he decided to fight Goliath, and he had time to think about a decision, he said, man, Lord, can you think of another way to move? Jesus did it. Jesus understood the plan. He was God. But he got in Gethsemane and said, Lord, is it any other way? Is it any other way to accomplish this beside me dying such a gruesome death? I don't think he was having second thoughts. I don't mean it that way. Don't push the envelope that way. But I'm saying, he just said, is there any other way to do it? I think because we are humans. We are people. You know, and we don't seek persecution, and we don't seek to be ostracized. I don't think no one wake up in the morning time looking for someone to persecute them. But sometimes it's unavoidable. And sometimes it's hard. But God promised us his peace. Let me get to the good part before I lose everybody. You know, David and Daniel and all these people that did all these great things for God. But the Bible says in John 14 and 27, he says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world give it. There you go. Thank you. Peace I leave with you. Now, you understand, he didn't say easy. It'll be a walk in the park, ice cream, and, like Sunday morning stuff. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it. Now, you understand, there is a worldly peace. The worldly peace says that I need the car of my dreams, the woman of my dreams, the house of my dreams, and the job of my dreams, and then I have peace. I have some superficial emotional peace. You know, a peace that lasts me for a few minutes or maybe a few hours or maybe for a few days. Because church, the peace that the world gives us is always temporary. The peace that the world gives us never has no longevity to it. The world has no true peace. The world only has some substitutional peace. Because the peace that the world has is revocable. In other words, it can be taken away from you. If your peace is in your job, then you lose your job, then you have no peace. If your peace is in your car and you lose your car, then you have no peace. But we used to sing a song, Sister Walcott, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I tell you, church, this peace. peace that we have. My job didn't give me my peace. My house didn't give me my peace. My car didn't give me my peace. But my peace comes from Jesus. And I know that he is stable. He is consistent. He said, my peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. The world doesn't have no peace, church. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 15:5, he says, in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor unto him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The Bible says in Ezekiel 7:25, destruction cometh. Hallelujah, destruction cometh. And they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Ezekiel 13:10. Because they have seduced my people, talking about easy like Sunday morning, talking about it's like ice cream, it's like cookies. Come over here and you will have no troubles. Come over here and your wife's going to be good every day. Your children going to love you every day. You won't have no job problems. You won't have no car problems. These are seducers. They're giving you a false perception of Christianity. But the Bible says, says it like this in Ezekiel 13:10. He says, because they have seduced my people, saying what? Peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with intemperate mortar. Other words, a false sense of peace. Jesus said, this is the peace that the world has. They peace is on a Friday night. They have peace on a Saturday night. You know, they do their thing and all that other stuff. They come to work Monday in a bad mood, as if Monday don't come after Sunday, as if Sunday don't come after Saturday. That is a false sense of peace, you understand. There is no peace to the world, church. There is no peace. God never guaranteed them peace. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard, but he promised us his peace. The Christian peace is not and cannot be based on circumstances or conditions or some superficial emotion, but on the reality that he promised us his peace. We can't base our peace on the emotion, because emotions fluctuate up and down. We can't base our peace on Sunday morning alone. We can't base our peace on what the preacher going to preach about, or what the singer's going to sing. But our peace, church, Tabernacle of Pentecost, our peace must be based on the word of God alone. We cannot trust in the arms of flesh. We cannot trust in things that can be taken away from us. But we have to put our hope and our trust in him alone. Clap your hand if you believe it. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, hallelujah, church, about the peace that God promised us. Keisha, you listening to this? The Bible says it like this. Hallelujah. In Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Hallelujah. Somebody say abundant. Abundant peace. 119:165 says it like this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Somebody say perfect peace. Hallelujah. Thou would keep him, Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him or keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because he has trusted in him. Somebody say, like a river. Like a river. Isaiah 48:18 says, oh, that thou hast hearkened. Hallelujah. Oh, thou hast listened to my commandments. Then had they peace as a river. Thank you, Jesus. In thy righteousness as the waves of the sea.
John 14 and 27. Are you convinced yet? Do you understand the peace of God? It goes before us, it goes behind us, and on my side. If you agree with me, please clap your hands. Hallelujah. John 14 and 27 says, peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it. Not some superficial, emotional high. I don't need no drugs to make me feel peaceful. I don't need my eyes to look at something to make me feel peaceful. I don't need no sports car to make me feel peaceful. I don't need to indulge in some worldly activities. All I need to know that the King of Peace, that the Prince of Peace, just give me Jesus, and that is enough. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John 16 and 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, or tribulations, I should say. Brother Shears, in this world we would have tribulations. We would have troubles, church. Brother Mary, we would have problems. We cannot get around these things. But he said unto us, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And this is my favorite one. Please stand up while we read this together. Hallelujah. The last one. Because sometimes people say, I don't understand the peace you have. I don't understand Philippians 4 and 7, brother. The peace you have doesn't make sense. How can you have peace when your wife just walked out on you? Or your husband just left you? Are your children acting up? Or you can't pay your mortgage? Or you have no job? You have no transportation? I'm sick in my body. I have some ill disease. I have no money in the bank. I have no idea where my next meal is coming from. I have no idea how I'm going to pay my water or how I'm going to pay my light. There is a solution, church. The Bible says, in the peace of God, not the peace of the world, not the peace of the culture, not the peace based on my education, but the peace of God, which passed all understanding, which passed the understanding of men, hallelujah, shall keep your hearts in your minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for insurance. I thank God for a plan. But I need the peace of God to guard my heart. I need the peace of God to guard my mind. I need the peace of God to guard my stuff, to guard my children, to guard my wife. I need your peace. Keep your everything else. I thank God for my house. I thank God for my job. I thank God for my pickup truck. But all I need is his peace. Throw your hands in the air right now and let's cry out to him. Lord, give us your peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see the struggles of your people. You know what we're facing in Jesus' name. But Lord, we need your peace. And we seek your peace, Lord Jesus. Not the peace that the world give us. Not the peace based on some emotional high. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus, bless your people. Bless our time here today. If you agree with me, indicate by clapping your hands as loud and as fast as you possibly can. That's not loud. Come on. You are dismissed for a temporary recess. We'll be regenerated again, coming back again in less than 2 to 3 minutes. Go and get some water. Refresh yourselves. I think we're going to have a mighty time today in the Holy Ghost.